بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. This is the 27th lesson in our series on the book Al-Ubudiyyah of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, with the commentary of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan. In the previous lesson, we discussed the issue of the prayer, As-Salat, the prayer being one of those affairs which prevents a person from al-fahsha wal-munkar, from evils and from lusts and desires. And this was in the context of the discussion regarding Yusuf alayhi salam and the trial and tribulation he was put through, and how sincerity to Allah Azza wa Jal shielded him and protected him. And in light of that, Ibn Taymiyyah is mentioning some of those affairs which aids a servant, which helps a servant in order to keep away from evil, munkar, and from lusts and desires and shameful deeds, al-fahsha. And that is because these types of deeds are like weeds. It's like a weed, like you have weeds around the plants, then likewise they are like weeds around a person's heart and his iman, and they can affect him. And so in the previous lesson we looked at some of the benefits of the prayer which are mentioned in this verse, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. First of all, that the prayer is something that prohibits a person from falling into munkar and following his lusts and desires, falling into fahsha. Secondly, that the prayer itself is the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, and this is its greatest benefit. The dhikr of Allah, the aspect of the dhikr of Allah in the prayer, is the greatest element of it. More so even than the fact that it prevents you from following lusts and desires and falling into munkar, falling into evil. That was the second benefit. And the third, we find in another ayah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. In this ayah, Allah Azza wa Jalla commands the people of Iman to seek aid by way of the prayer, by way of having patience and by way of the prayer. So the prayer is something that aids you in your, the difficulties of the world, the hardships of the world, and it is something that you escape to. You escape to the prayer from the worldly hardships and calamities and toils and struggles and efforts that you go through. And so the Shaykh Al-Fawzan mentioned these three benefits of the prayer, commenting upon the fact that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah cited those verses. And that was the bulk of the previous lesson. And in today's lesson we're going to continue. And we finished the previous lesson by making the point that the heart of a servant has been created to know the truth, to want the truth, to love the truth, and to seek the truth. This is the basic default. This is the nature upon which Allah Azza wa Jal created a person and his heart. And so this is the asal. The heart wants the truth. It seeks the truth. It pursues the truth. However, along the way, sometimes there are factors or things which get presented to the heart. You know, where the soul is inclined towards evil, and it incites towards evil. So this gets presented to the heart. And these types of things, when they are presented to the heart, then they are like They are like weeds, as Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned. They are like weeds which corrupt the vegetation. And this leads us to the verse that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah quotes in this respect. And this is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. He succeeds who purifies it, and he is ruined who corrupts it. This is a reference to the soul. And also the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal in Surah Al-A'la, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى. He has succeeded who purifies himself, his soul, and who mentions the name of his Lord and who prays. So these verses here that Ibn Taymiyyah mentions, he's presenting to us that the heart, the asal, the foundation with the heart, what it is created upon, is that it seeks and desires the truth. It wants the truth, and it pursues the truth and wants the truth. However, along the way, there are things which are presented to the heart and which cause it to deviate. And these affairs which are presented to it can be a number of things. And so Sheikh Al-Fawzan elaborates upon this now. And he says, the first of those things which get presented to the heart, similar to how a plant, weeds come along by its side, right? So weeds come along and they may affect its growth and they might corrupt its growth. So in the same way, the heart, it can be corrupted in a number of ways and taken away from its asal, its foundation, what it has been created upon. So the first of those things the Shaykh says is either a tarbiyah sayyi'ah, an evil tarbiyah, an evil nurturing, from birth to childhood. And so this is based upon the hadith of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, كُلُّ مَوْلُودٍ يُولَدُ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ فَأَبَوَاهُ يُحَوِّدَانِهِ أَوْ يُنَصِّرَانِهِ أَوْ يُمَجِّسَانِهِ. Every child is born upon the fitrah, and it is his parents who make him into a Jew or a Christian or into a Magian, into a fire worshipper. So this is one of the ways. Basically, your household or the environment in your household and the particular doctrines and ideas and beliefs which are present in that household, this takes you away from the fitrah, from the asal of the heart, what it is upon, of seeking the truth and wanting the truth, and it turns you away. So this is at-tarbiyah. This is one of the ways. The second way by which the heart becomes corrupted, which is when a person willfully follows and chooses the desires, shahawat, and likewise the shubuhat. And this is out of the aspiration and the desire of the soul, and it pursues that. And as a result of this, its original state, the original fitrah, the original love for the truth and desire for the truth and venerating the truth, all of this, it becomes weakened. Why? Because this person has now trained his heart, trained his soul, accustomed his heart, made it a habit for his heart to pursue, these ambitions and aspirations and desires. And so this is the second way that a person becomes corrupted. One is the nurturing he receives from his environment and from his parents and from, his society and, through childhood and as he grows up. And the second is when he follows the shahawat or the shubuhat, which are the doubts, and so he becomes corrupted in that way. So the Shaykh says that therefore it is vital, it is necessary that for parents, for example, that they ensure that the children have a nice environment of sound ideas, sound beliefs, upon Tawheed and sound creed and so on and so forth. And at the same time, to protect them from being exposed to those types of things which lead to a corruption in the fitrah and a corruption in the heart. And you see that nowadays there are so many trials and tribulations which are present in the society. and which, if the parents are not very careful, they will lose their children to so many different types of trials and tribulations and lusts and desires. You know, you have people, there is the corruption of what it means to be a male or a female, a man or a woman, confusing people, confusing children, or brainwashing children, in fact, with respect to these types of issues. This is out there in the society very powerfully, very strongly. Likewise, you have so many of these social justice type of movements where they make the most important thing to be, for example, saving the earth or saving the planet, you know, almost like a earth worship religion, or the environment, or racism, for example, or economic justice, for example. All of these things, while there are aspects of truth in these things, no doubt, they are intended for some other purpose, for some other objective, and children are a strong target for indoctrination upon these types of ideas. So what happens is that as they get exposed to these ideas, they are led to believe that, for example, caring about the earth is greater than the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal, or dealing with racism is greater than the issue of the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal, or economic justice is greater than the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is a type of corruption in the fitrah and a corruption in the creed that children are subjected to, which parents have to be aware of, right? This is doctrinal, this is to do with ideas and doctrines. And at the same time, also the issue of following lusts and following desires, because this is also a very strong aspect of these types of societies, because they want to divert people and take people's attentions away from the harsh realities and get them involved, corrupt their ability to think critically and with sound reason, and instead have them preoccupied in pastimes and leisures and lusts and desires. And it's all about feeling good and all about pleasure and, feelings. And this type of nurturing, getting children accustomed to this type of nurturing, all of these things combined are a corruption, and they take children away from, the lofty goals, the lofty ideals, which sit on top of the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal, singling out Allah Azza wa Jal. So the Shaykh here, Shaykh Al-Fawzan, mentioned these two aspects, either an evil tarbiyah, an evil nurturing, or, getting accustomed to following lusts and desires. So the Shaykh says, continuing, he says, the one who is granted success, فَالْمُوَفَّقْ مَنْ يَدْفَعُ هَذِهِ الْعَوَارِضِ, the one who is successful, the one who is granted success, is the one who repels all of these things, these factors, or these, things that a person gets exposed to. And every person gets exposed to these things out of a trial and tribulation from Allah. But the one who is successful, the one who succeeds, is the one who repels all of these trials and tribulations and lusts and desires by way of ibadah, by way of worship to Allah, sincerity to Allah, and obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was the commentary of Shaykh Al-Fawzan on the issue of the heart, and how the heart, initially, it is created upon wanting to know the truth and loving the truth and seeking the truth. But then it gets presented with certain things, just like we know in the hadith that the heart, trials and tribulations are presented to it, just like, the stitches on a reed mat, on a mat. So the heart gets presented with things from the environment, from the parents, from the society, from friends, from whatever it might be. And this is something that can corrupt that heart, in the same way that weeds corrupt plants and vegetation. They starve them and they cause them to die and they, you know, become corrupted. And so this is the similitude of what we are dealing with here. And for that reason, we see the verses which are quoted, which are highly relevant, in that Allah Azzawajal says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. He succeeds who purifies it, and he is ruined who corrupts it. And so Sheikh Al-Fawzan comments upon this verse that was mentioned by Ibn Taymiyyah, and he said that here Allah Azzawajal swore by the soul, and you know, in the passage in Surah Al-Shams, he swore by the soul, and you know, he said, فَأَلْحَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا, that he inspired the soul with its, either with its sinfulness or with its piety. So Allah Azzawajal is the one who decrees and inspires for one person that he will be someone who, you know, will follow sins, and for another person he inspires him and decrees that this will be a person whose soul will pursue taqwa, will pursue piety. So all of this is something that comes from Allah Azza wa Jal. And then he said after that, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. He succeeds who purifies it, meaning who purifies his soul. He purifies it and he completes it, he raises it by way of obedience to Allah Azza wa Jal. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. And he is ruined, the one who corrupts it. Meaning the one who corrupts it by way of sin and disobedience, so he makes it impure. It's like you take a garment and you throw it in the dust, and you know, it starts turning black and grey with all of the dust that you get from the ground, or you throw it in mud and it, you know, picks up all of the mud. This is the same thing. A person who engages in sin and disobedience, effectively he's doing the same thing with his soul. With his soul, right? Just like you take a nicely clean white garment that you've just washed and then you throw it on the ground, you trample upon it. In the same way, when a person engages in sins and disobedience, effectively he's taking his soul and he's corrupting his soul. He's trampling upon his soul. He's dirtying his soul, right? He's making it impure in the same way. So, a person is the one who places his own soul. In other words, you are the one that determine what position you give yourself. Is it in the position of guidance, or is it the position of, you know, ruin and harm and impurity? The Sheikh quotes a line of poetry, وَمَا الْمَرْءُ إِلَّا حَيْثُ يَجْعَلْ نَفْسَهُ فَقُنْ طَالِبًا فِي النَّاسِ أَعْلَى الْمَرَاتِبِ. He said, a man is not except in the position or the status he puts himself in, right? You are the one who put yourself in whatever status you have. فَقُنْ طَالِبًا فِي النَّاسِ أَعْلَى الْمَرَاتِبِ. So be among the people as one who seeks the loftiest level, the highest rank. Right. So in other words, what this means is ultimately you are the one who is going to give your own self its level and its rank. So you can either choose to dirty your soul, make your soul impure, to throw it in the dirt and to trample upon it by way of sin and disobedience, or you can choose to purify it and to make it lofty and noble by way of, you know, obedience to Allah Azza wa Jal. And so this is the context of, you know, the statements or the from the Quran that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah has mentioned here, that Shaykh al-Fawzan is putting together. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. He will be successful who purifies it, and he will be ruined who corrupts it and makes it impure. So here, tazkiyah is mentioned. Tazkiyah is the purification, and the purification that is desired of the soul and the heart is by way of ikhlas to Allah Azza wa Jal, by way of worship of Allah, by way of obedience to Allah. And this is why there are two types of tazkiyah that are mentioned in the Quran. The first type of tazkiyah is the one that we are discussing here, the one that we are explaining, which is that you purify the soul, you purify the heart from impurities, from weeds, from things that harm it and damage it. That's the first type of tazkiyah, and this is commanded. Allah has commanded this in the Quran. It is something that is desired, it is something that is sought. Right? So this is purification of the soul and the heart. And the second type of tazkiyah is a tazkiyah that is blameworthy and prohibited. And this is when a person basically praises himself and praises his soul and becomes amazed with himself or with herself, right? So this is a type of self-aggrandization, right? Purifying oneself, praising oneself, ascribing piety to oneself and these types of things. This is something that is prohibited. This is not the tazkiyah that is being spoken of here. And for that reason, we see in the Quran, the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. Do not praise yourself, do not sanctify yourself. For indeed he, meaning Allah, is most knowledgeable of who is the one who truly fears him. And similarly, in another ayah in Surah An-Nisa, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ يُزَكُّونَ أَنفُسَهُمْ بَلِ اللَّهُ يُزَكِّي مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ فَتِيلًا. Have you not seen those people who sanctify themselves, who purify themselves, meaning they praise themselves? Rather, Allah is the one. بَلِ اللَّهُ يُزَكِّي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah is the one who praises and purifies and sanctifies whom he wills, and they will not be wronged in anything. So here, this is a prohibited type of purification, of tazkiyah. This is prohibited. So once all of this is clear, what is the point in all of this? What is the wider context of what we are discussing? Remember, we are discussing the ubudiyyah, servitude to Allah Azza wa Jal. Right? And this is the meaning of being an abd, that you are serving Allah, you are in servitude to Him, you are captivated to Him and not to anyone else or anything else. However, there are certain things that draw you away from His ubudiyyah, and they captivate you and they enslave you. And from those things are the issues of relationships and lusts and desires. And this can happen even in a lawful setting, in a lawful relationship, as happens between a husband and wife, right? And it can also happen in an unlawful setting, right? Which is unlawful relationships. And so this is one very big, important and serious issue that relates to the issue of ubudiyyah, servitude to Allah, which is the issue of lusts and desires and pursuing them and following them and so on and so forth. And so this is why what was mentioned here was the prayer being an inhibition, a prevention of that. And likewise, ikhlas to Allah, being sincere, as we see in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. And so now Ibn Taymiyyah goes on to mention some of the other things in the Quran. We know the Quran mentioned the issue of the prayer. Inna as-salata tanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkar. The prayer is something that prevents you from following lusts and desires and becoming captivated and enslaved to other than Allah. And then Ibn Taymiyyah goes on to mention another command in the Quran, and this relates to the believing men and the believing women, basically protecting themselves, lowering their gaze and protecting their private parts. So here we see Ibn Taymiyyah mentions the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal in Surah An-Nur, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُدُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ ذَٰلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ. So say to the believing men that they should lower their gaze and protect their private parts. That is more purifying for them. And also the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ مَا زَكَّى مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَبَدًا. had it not been for the bounty of Allah upon you and his mercy, then none of you would ever have become purified. So Ibn Taymiyyah says that here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned these things: preservation of the private parts, protecting your private parts from that which is unlawful, and lowering the gaze, that these are things which are more purifying for the soul. They purify the soul. And to abandon the fawahish, the shameful deeds, this itself is from the zakat. It is from the zakat of the souls. And when a person engages in the zakat, in the purification of the soul, then this will lead to the end of all types of evils and dhulm and oppression and shirk and al-kadhib and lying. So in other words, when you actively engage in keeping the soul purified, then that itself will incorporate the end or the removal of all the other major evils, like shirk, for example, or al-kadhib, falling into lies, for example, or dhulm, oppression. And if you think about it, these types of major sins like shirk and lying and dhulm, you find that a person is willing to engage in dhulm and is willing to engage in lying and is willing to engage in these affairs, becoming captivated to other than Allah, in order to satisfy the lusts and the desires and the pursuits of his heart and his soul, right? If you accustom your heart to following its lusts and desires, whether it be wealth, whether it be lusts and desires, shameful deeds, and other types of things, then it's very easy for you to then fall into lying as a means to an end, or into dhulm, oppression, as a means to an end. You would be willing to oppress other people in order to pursue, you know, what your heart and your soul desires. This could include stealing from people. It could include, you know, oppressing other people, whatever it might be. So if you actively prevent your soul and you purify your soul, then this in turn will save you from falling into all of these other types of evils, which you will be necessarily led to by following your desires, by corrupting your heart. So as Ibn Taymiyyah says, وَزَكَاتُ النُّفُوسِ تَتَذَمَّنُ زَوَالَ جَمِيعِ الشُّرُورِ مِنَ الْفَوَاحِشِ وَالظُّلْمِ وَالشِّرْكِ وَالْكَذِبِ وَغَيْرِ ذَلِكِ. That purifying the soul includes, incorporates, comprises, it brings about, it includes the ending, the cessation, the ending of all evils, whether they are the shameful deeds, whether they are dhulm, oppression, whether it is shirk itself, whether it is al-kadhib, lying, and other such things. So in other words, attending to the heart, purifying the heart, removing from it the weeds and the things that can starve it and kill it and corrupt it, then this in itself will give you protection and safety from many other types of evils that you would otherwise have fallen into, you know, as a consequence of following your lusts and your desires. So we'll end on this point, because now Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he then goes on to mention another aspect of servitude, right? So far, we've spoken about the shahawat, the lusts and desires and unlawful relationships and things of that nature, which a person can enter into. But there are also other things by which a person's heart can be captivated and enslaved to other than Allah. And one of those things is seeking leadership, to seek position, to seek authority, right? To seek power. And this is one of those things that Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala is going to discuss next. And so what we'll do is we'll conclude our lesson, keep our lessons short today, inshallah ta'ala, and we'll conclude on this point. And the next lesson we'll be discussing this issue of the issue of ri'asa, which is leadership, seeking authority and leadership, because this is, you know, there are some people who get put to trial by way of, lusts and desires. There are other people who get put to trial by way of power and authority and dominating other people. And there are other people who get put to trial by way of wealth and riches. And all of these things, they lead a person into ubudiyya, you know, servitude and captivation by other than Allah. So this, the issue of ri'asa, leadership, is what Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala is going to discuss next. And so we'll conclude our lesson here today. We discussed about the soul and purifying the soul and not corrupting the soul, and how this is a means of attaining protection and being firm in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, and it leads to so many other benefits. So we'll stop on this point inshallah ta'ala, and we'll continue the flow of the discussion in the next lesson. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.